eternal shame is attached to it. In Sahih Bukhari, the book of hadith venerated by our Sunni brethren, the Prophet is quoted as saying, "Fatima is a part of me. Whoever displeases her has displeased me, and whoever displeases me has indeed displeased God." So why a paragon of virtue whom God hails in the noble Quran as Kothar or the blessed spring of perpetual abundance was displeased? Weren't the companions of the Prophet aware of her prime position as the fulcrum of faith? Hadn't they watched in amazement and admiration the veiled figure of the Immaculate Lady accompany her father, along with her husband and two sons, to the memorable Mubahale with the Christians of Najran on revelation of Ayah 61 of Surah Al Imran? Weren't they aware that Ayahs 5 to 22 of Surah Dahr were revealed, giving tidings of the loftiest mansions in paradise to her, to her husband, to her mate Fizze, and to her sons, when they fasted for 3 consecutive days to fulfill a vow, and on each evening at the time of breaking the fast, gave away whatever food they had to a beggar, to a traveler, and a freshly released prisoner who happened to knock on the door? Muslims ought to ponder upon these questions for perfecting their faith. On her departure from the mortal world, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, carried out the wishes of his beloved wife in the dead of night, laying her to rest in an unmarked and still unknown grave in Medina, so that the shadow of those that had displeased her would never fall upon it. Nor would any future blasphemers, such as the Wahhabis of our times, would be able to desecrate it. Thus, Hazrat Fatima, peace upon her, the pride of the Virgin Mary, and the immortal symbol of womanhood for all virtuous women for all time, left for her heavenly abode. But the values that she bequeathed to humanity eternally remain with us, inspiring the daughters of Eve towards faith in God and moral perfection. We again offer condolences to our listeners and goodbye.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa
This is part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with clergy and the students of the seminary. Allah the Almighty in chapter 2 of the Holy Quran, verse 257 says, Allah is the guardian or Veli of those who believe. He brings them out of the darkness into the light. He whose guardian or Veli is Allah the Blessed and Exalted, and who is taken by him out from the darkness, never commits another sin, never backbites, never slanders others, and he is never vengeful or envious of his brothers in faith. His own heart is filled with a feeling of luminosity, and he no longer holds the world or what it contains in high esteem.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are with another episode of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini, and I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Imam Khomeini has said in his one of speeches that right now we are all put under tests and trials. So we need to apply this saying in our life, that every one of us, even at this moment that I'm talking and you're listening to this program, we all are put under test and trial. And obviously in the Quran, if we want to see, we can see chapter 2, verse number 155, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says in chapter 2, verse 155, that we have put you in the trial. We are testing you for everything.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
We will try you with something of fear. Khawf is fear. And hunger, and loss of wealth, and lives, and fruits of toil, but give good tidings to those who patiently preserve. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly said this in Quran, that remember that we will try you with the fear. Maybe the fear of not having a good job, maybe the fear of not having a good future, maybe having a fear of anything at any time. Maybe he can have with the jur. Jur is hunger. Sometimes, you know, we had a hard time. Some of us who eat only one time meal because they don't have that much money. Some of us have, for example, they eat for two times. Some of us have, they're wealthy, so they eat three times. But still, Allah is saying, we will either try you with the khawf, waljur, with the hunger, wa naqsim min al-amwal, and by the loss in the wealth. So may Allah give us tawfiq to have patience in our life and to understand these things, inshaAllah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Ali Alavian and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
Brother Ali, salam to you too, brother.
Wa alaykum assalam. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, how are you, brother? You're all right?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, brother. So we know that the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on different occasions, has commemorated, we can say, the position of the nurses and medical staff, especially during coronavirus. Those who have been killed on this way have been called as shaheed by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. But Brother Ali, let me ask you about the features of, we can say, a good and great nurse in Islam. What are the features according to, also Ayatollah Khamenei has talked about many features, you know, about the good nurse. Enumerate some of them for us.
Actually, this is a hard job and tough job. I mean, it might not look so, but it is really a tough job and it has lots of hardships. Physically and mentally, and actually they are under pressure, because from one side no one can actually see exactly what you're doing there, and from the other side the patient himself is expecting more because he's unable to do his own duties, so he's expecting more, but what he has to know that there are other patients as well. But since this, let's say, hardship of the work cannot be seen by the people, it's the time for us at least to ponder and think on these issues, that
That's right.
This job needs to be actually looked at it very accurately as it is. Because from one side, even the family of the patient, they are expecting more of the care to be given to the patient while there is no one there in the hospital.
That's right.
Close to him, and the relatives even are not allowed to be in the hospital from
yes.
the other side. So all in all, this is not an easy job to be done, but with lots of hardship. And this hardship brings some necessities to the to the nurses.
That's right.
They must be kind. They need to be kind to the patient. And being kind to the patient also is not, again, easy. Look, brother, the patient who all the patients are not same. Some of them have very
severe situation. That's right.
And helping them, and they are not. I mean, this is not the only patient that you have in the section.
Yes.
So there are others as well. So to be kind with all of them, it requires a big morale and a big. Let's say, sense of, humanity, if I can call it. And while you might also, as a person, have some other problems in your house or in your family as well, but you need, while you are coming here, you have to forget all of them and be kind again to this group of people who are in need of you.
And the bravery that these staff showed during corona pandemic was really outstanding.
Yeah, some of them were away from their families.
Yeah, for so many days, maybe 2-3 months away from the family. I've seen the pictures in Iran in the hospitals that even the birthday anniversary for the father who was, or the mother was the nurse, was held behind the blocks, I mean behind the doors, closed doors,
yeah.
The families on one side and the others on the other side. Okay, like now we are in the studio and the sound staff are behind in the control
just,
room.
It's just like ICU, like patients inside ICU.
The
rest,
yeah.
Outside, they're watching the patient.
Yes, brother. But this was really great. And then themselves, you know, at the very beginning, they were themselves exposed to this disease without doing it.
Very true.
Because the biological and the genetic tests were not done yet.
And even more about the importance of their job, it is a complementary, actually, action to the works and to the jobs of the doctors and physicians. Because in case the doctor even does the best of, let's say, treatment to the patient,
the
in case there
surgery,
is no nurse to take care of those, let's say, operation, and to actually to take care of the patient for that great event that happened on him, then it would be of no use.
The post-operation cares are very important.
So it is not even less important as what the doctors do.
That's right.
So it is, I think, to the same level of importance that the doctors do. In case they make a good decision to make a good treatment, they complement it.
Okay.
In the completion, like obviously, you know, when we're talking about the duty of nurses, we need to know why we say it's hard. Because in the other duties, when we say like the other jobs that we have, generally it's just a physical effort that we have.
Yes.
But for the nurses, it's more than the physical. Their spirit is also involved in it.
Yes.
Their ethical issue, obviously they have to take care of the ethical issues as well. Their morale should be high. Their spiritual, they must be spiritually strong. Psychologically strong, obviously, you know, if a person passes away in front of them, they have to control themselves, obviously. It's very hard for a normal person to bear that. And sometimes, obviously, during operation or maybe during something like the different cases, obviously, you know, when in emergency, the patients, they come, there's different type of like emergencies, the patients.
Yes.
Some have come because of the accident, some have come because of the, I don't know, fight or the other
injuries, or maybe
there are other cases.
Yes.
So they must, like, obviously they are putting their whole, their whole self is involved. It's
That's
not
right.
just the body.
They spend from the very spirituality of themselves too, especially during pandemic when we see the believing nurses in the Muslim communities and look at the pictures, you know, on the websites. You can find that they did everything, but at the same time, they are reciting du'as.
For the sick
people over there. Themselves and for the sick people over there, because they find this channel now, we can say, more useful. And this coronavirus, I think, had some lessons for us.
It had
some lessons, especially for the, we can say, for people, because before that, maybe we looked at the nurses and the medical staff. Okay, they are doing their jobs. They are paid for that. They are paid to take care of us. But now we see something greater is happening over there. The sacrifice that they have been made is highlighted now, and this coronavirus had a lesson in this regard, Brother Ali, isn't it?
How much do you want to pay a person to make him kind to a patient with that situation?
Yeah. Especially in this
while
disease,
your own life is in danger.
Yeah.
But you actually are turning around him like an angel and serving him or her and helping her or him. And this is, I think, in saying it, it's not that difficult. But when in practice, it shows itself.
Okay.
I have been saying that they are actually able to even revive some of the patients.
Yes.
I mean, to give life back to a patient, the one who has actually, who is about to die, but they actually let him stay more. Let him stay alive more. And this is the art of a nurse that helps actually the patient and those who are involved with a sort of disease to get back to life. And this is also a great service to humanity. And we have even in Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you save a life, it's as if you have saved the whole world.
That's
so to the extent that they are able, they do their job and they help people. And definitely it will be, we as human beings are not able to thank them for what they're doing, but they are not actually ignored in presence of God, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for this great job that they are doing.
Another important case, Sayyid Mohsen, is, you know, in Iran, Iran was the first country, Islamic Republic of Iran, was the first country who called those nurses and the medical staff killed on this way, I mean, during corona pandemic virus, as martyr. Shaheed and martyr. How much do you think this action itself is good? Because also leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, referred to these great men and women as Shaheed. How much do you think giving it religious color will help? Because the nurses and the medical staff in the world, now we want to make a role model for the more, for the world. Well, out of ourselves. How much do you think?
First thing is that we are totally living in a religious environment.
Okay.
Because there is a creator who has created us. Mm-hmm. And we all must live our life for a divine cause.
Okay.
If we are not living for a divine cause, then this life is in vain. Obviously, we will not get to the perfection or to the place where we need to go. So the whole our whole life from our birth till death is divine. It should be because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's for the it must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in this path, obviously, whoever works in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in the Quran Allah says fi sabilillah. The word fi sabilillah has meaning and a technical meaning.
Yes.
In some cases, we refer towards the technical meaning, which means like taking a sword or a gun and go to the battlefield. Mm-hmm. That's one of the meanings.
Yes.
Whereas we also know that the Prophet ﷺ said, like the big jihad is to fight against your nafs, mm-hmm. against yourself, against your wishes. And you need to obviously...
Your belongings, that's right.
Against your belongings, you have to control yourself.
Yes.
Now, what we see is obviously amongst all the jobs that are done in the world, the nurse, being a nurse, is the hardest job. Mm-hmm. And it's a sacred job. That's what we said, like divine. It's a divine and sacred job. Yes. Why? Because this person is obviously is involved with its spirit, with its psychology, with its, we can say, like ethics, moral, I don't know, with its emotions.
Yes.
It's all over there.
Yeah.
When this person is working. And obviously, when they are working for the divine cause, for the sake of saving a person's life,
that's right.
If they lose their life, it is like being a martyr. Don't we have a hadith or narrations in which, for example, from Hazrat Masuma salamu alayha, we have a hadith, "Man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammad mata shahida." Whoever dies in the love of Ahlul Bayt, they died like a martyr.
That's right.
They're shaheed, mata shahida.
Yes.
They're like a martyr.
Okay.
So these people who have the love of Ahlul Bayt, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, they're saving the lives of the mu'mineen,
yes.
the believers.
Yes.
Number three, obviously, they're doing this for a divine cause,
yes.
for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. All these things, when you add all these things, definitely, if we call them as a martyr,
yes.
this is a very little thing that we have given them.
Yeah, and how
a
much
very little title that we could give them by saying that these are martyr.
Yeah.
And it's not like making something religious. We are inside the religious.
Yes. Yes. And during the pandemic, during the corona pandemic, the searches have shown that we can say, as you said, emotional and psychological. Encouragements done have helped the sick people in order to revive. And one of the things that can be used
is
religion.
Share,
we got about 1 minute.
Experience.
We got about 1 minute.
You know, regarding the emotion and the psychological, one of our family members, she's an old lady, she's almost 60 years old, she got corona. And her husband, he did not tell her, like, you have corona. And he said, like, you got a TB. And she was thinking like she was getting treated for the TB in the hospital.
Oh.
And because she had, like she was old, that's why they're putting this, you know, they're giving her oxygen and all those things. And when she got cured, after 1 week, they told her that you had corona.
Oh.
And at that time, she started to cry.
Okay.
If I could knew, like if I, if you told me at that time when I had...
Yes.
I would definitely die.
Now compare it. Now compare it with the nursing staff who know what they're doing, with all these masks. And you know, really, it's really intolerable, because I have nurses, my relatives, with these clothes on, with these masks on, with breathing is very difficult, sweating all, we can say, of the skin, and it's really difficult, especially during the summer in the hot weather. Yeah,
this is the same war, brother, but in the battlefield has changed. So yeah. In case they are
cold... You're looking at it as a battlefield, brother, isn't it?
Look, okay. if they are called as martyr or shaheed, uh-huh. I think it is the exact name that can be put, okay. Because yeah. What a shaheed is doing, the shaheed with a pure intention and with a pure, let's say, belief in God, for the sake of
sacrifices himself
yeah. to serve others, right?
That's right.
This is the same thing that they are doing.
Okay.
Even if, for example, when we are going to our job and we are doing our work,
yes.
we are doing our job and we are going to our workplace mm-hmm. with the intention of doing it for the sake of God,
yes.
we are doing jihad.
Okay.
So a person, even in that state, is got killed, then he's known to...
Very good. Let me quote as the final remark for today's program a sentence. It is a narration that has been said by Ayatollah Khamenei in one of his speeches, that a person who attends to a patient is like a person who swims in divine mercy. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and oh. Brother Ali Alavian for your
Thanks
presence.
To you, brother.
It was very kind of you. We really admire all the efforts of the nursing staff and the medical staff, especially during coronavirus pandemic, all around the world, whether it be Muslims or non-Muslims. They are all considered as the main sacrifices in this way, and we really appreciate what you do all across the world. May Allah bless them all, and may Allah give them the best rewards in the other world and here in this world. Dear audience, thank you very much. Do not forget to read out the seventh dua of Sahifa Sajjadiyah. This has been recommended by all our leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and all the religious authorities. It is really helpful, and spiritually speaking, it will really boost you every day. Visit our website too, parstoday.com/yankalavislampage. Our YouTube page is Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, whenever I feel down, you can lift me up, turning my life around with your love. No matter how rough it gets, I can wear a smile, 'cause your mercy never dries, yeah.
These days, we do most of our communication via social media. It comes in handy, especially during the time of coronavirus. But it isn't safe for everyone. This is why many young girls are quitting social media. According to a new global survey by the rights group Plan International, nearly 60% of all female users of online platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, have experienced harassment. This is what is driving young girls from across the world to get away from social media. In the US, 3 times as many girls reporting being harassed online or by text message than boys, according to the National Center for Education Statistics.
It's terrifying, as a mother of a young girl. I try to instill in her the importance of other things besides the way she looks, and I think if we as adults and as a society talk to our young girls about the importance of their mind and other extracurricular activities and other things besides the way they look, maybe we can make some difference. Maybe we can make a change. Maybe they won't feel as much pressure to judge one another.
According to Tamara, girls are not being put down by strangers online, but people they know.
Now it's not just, oh, the people in my school or the people in my class. It's thousands of people that go on social media and can see this one girl's post about this other girl. And can you imagine how much trauma that would cause that one girl knowing, you know, one of my peers just said this thing about me and it's true or it's not true, but it's out there for the world to see, and how devastating that would be for that young girl.
According to the study by Plan International, 1 in 5 girls has abandoned or cut down her use of a social media platform after being targeted. Attacks were most common on US-based media platforms. Here are the statistics. Facebook, 39% of girls polled said they had been harassed, followed by Instagram, 23%, WhatsApp, 14%, Snapchat, 10%, Twitter, 9%, and TikTok, 6%. The survey polled 14,000 girls and young women aged 15 to 25 in 22 countries, including Brazil, India, Nigeria, Spain, Thailand, and the United States. Not too long ago in Australia, a child model took her life due to online abuse.
Thank you to everybody for the overwhelming love and support that the family has received over the last few days. We realise many people have travelled a long way to be with us today, and we appreciate everyone who came along today to say farewell to our beautiful daughter and our beautiful little sister Dolly.
In Germany, 2/3 of the children have smartphones by the age of 11, making it a hub for cyberbullying, especially the abuse of little girls. For years, international entities have tried to rein in the social media apps, almost all of them being large American conglomerates profiteering off of anything on their platforms. According to the British counselling group Safety Net, social networks' failure to tackle cyberbullying is risking the mental health of young people. The other problem is that kids aren't talking. Safety Net reports that 2/3 of British social media users said they would not tell their parents if they experienced something upsetting online. This prompted Duke of Cambridge Prince William to take a stance all on his own in this regard.
For me, the issue of cyberbullying and its consequences are personal. My work as a HEMS pilot, air ambulance pilot, has exposed me to the tragedy of suicide and the despair felt by those who've been subjected to cruelty and abuse. Through my work on mental health, I've spent time getting to know parents and children for whom the impact of online bullying has been devastating. And as a parent myself, I understand the sense of loss and anger of those particular families who have lost children after they were the targets of campaigns of harassment. I feel a responsibility to do what I can to help.
But more must be done. The United Nations says that leaders, public figures, and parents must all do more to protect children. Every year on November 20th, the United Nations holds an annual event for World Children Day. November 20th is an important date for the UN, as it is the date in 1959 when the UN General Assembly adopted the Declaration of the Rights of the Child. It is also the date in 1989 when the UN General Assembly adopted the Convention on the Rights of the Child. Last year's event, the specific topic of social media abuse, was touched upon in detail.
I'm convinced that social media doesn't have to be a place of fear, bullying, and harassment. It can bring people together. It can be a place of love and support. Somewhere in the world right now, a teenage girl is being bullied online. She's scared, she's vulnerable, she feels alone. My message to her is this: you are not alone. There are people who care about you, and there are people who will listen if you reach out for help.
No one at that specific event blamed the large conglomerates for the child abuse on their platforms. Simply put, companies are not using profits to protect children. Even the Vatican took note of this, and the Pope called on social media companies to take action. That was back in 2017, and according to Plan International, nothing has changed. Shortly after Plan International published its 2020 survey, Facebook and Instagram said they used artificial intelligence to look for bullying content, constantly monitored users' reports of abuse, and always removed rape threats. Twitter said it also used technology to catch abusive content and has launched tools to improve users' control over their conversations. These methods have proven to have failed, as these platforms might be unknowingly encouraging abuse. Those behind the abuse are getting away with their behavior, according to the survey. For now, it seems that as young girls are catching on to the inaction of huge businesses to protect them, they are just shunning social media. This marks a new trend in an environment where social media and digital communication is being promoted for convenience and, of course, because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. It shows that girls have simply had enough, and if world leaders and businesses aren't taking the necessary action, then they certainly will.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we're going to look at some principles of upbringing children so that the audience gets a detailed description of the matter concerning how to raise their children Islamically. The main source is the book Children in the Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. And we have in our studio guest speaker Sister Salma Khalfan, who is an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Sister Salma.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for inviting me over.
Thank you very much for being here. So we were discussing about the wrong expectations we have from our children in our previous session. And you mentioned a few things towards the end that we should try and give them more flexibility and small things shouldn't be treated so big. So we hoped you could tell us more.
Yeah, there's one more mistake that the parents make, as in having wrong expectations, is also one mistake. But in that also, some parents expect too much achievements from the children.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel disappointed if the child does not achieve, because they start comparing.
Yeah.
You see, they don't see the ability of the child himself, that how wonderful Allah has made everybody to be so different.
Even true.
In siblings, if you see, they're all different. So what of the people at large? All different. Children are all different, right? So what you should encourage is to see his abilities and also encourage him and how happy he was doing the work.
Exactly.
Make sure that he does the struggle on his part, of course.
And maybe you should focus on the part where he's doing it, not the reason why he's doing it. So, you know, focus on how it's important. For example, if they want to prepare for a sports day, you know, playing the sports in itself, it's so much fun. It has so many benefits. Not only that, okay, you're there to win. You have to, you know, win this competition and keep
absolutely
that in his mind.
Yeah.
You know?
That spoils him. In fact, that makes him feel stressed that if I don't win, I won't be acknowledged or something like that.
Yeah.
Make the process be a pleasure. I always stress that the process of drawing and coloring to my little one is so beautiful that even if she ended up, you know, doing the wrong colors or taking all the colors out of the picture, I feel that she was so happy doing it.
Exactly.
And to encourage them makes pave a better result the next time, of course, because
definitely
they feel that I'm happy and my parents are happy with that, you know, and this is not a mistake at all then.
Yeah.
Give pleasure whilst doing the task.
Mm.
Not the achievement is the pleasure, no. The struggle. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays emphasis on the struggle in the Holy Quran.
Definitely.
That struggle and the achievement is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who are we as parents to want achievement from our children, right?
Yeah.
And then we start comparing and then we feel like sad about it, and the child even feels sad about it, and then he feels the self-esteem growing lesser in him. He doesn't feel confident to do it the next time.
Yeah.
Because anyway he wouldn't do it properly, so what's the use of trying? But if he keeps on trying, exercise gives results, right?
Definitely.
In the end he will do a great thing.
Exactly. I feel like even if they have a bit of a competitive mind, you know, like even in the Quran we're told to compete towards good.
Yeah.
But I think that what they mean over there is not having this mindset that you're only there to win, and if you don't and if you get anything below that, you know, you've lost and you're useless. No, it's just that even if you go, you have to try and reach that goal. But if you don't reach there, it's okay. You have to stand up, try again. You know, this process is important.
Yeah,
as long as you're trying.
The process is the reward,
yeah,
actually, not the achievement. But people mistake it. Even in, like, when we're talking about sawab, they think sawab is something you get after the deed is performed.
Mm-hmm.
Like prayer gets a lot of sawab. The sawab of prayer is actually being in the prayer,
exactly,
having the pleasure of getting closeness with Allah during the time of prayer.
Yeah.
So everything of sawab, you know, the concept is to get the pleasure while doing it.
Mm.
That's what Allah wants the best for us, right?
Yeah.
So we should inculcate that in our child too, not having the wrong expectation or over expectations to wanting them to achieve or to bring something to result, you know, to give us a result. The result is the struggle.
Yeah.
Now I'll go to another mistake that commonly parents do make is negative behavior. Sometimes negative behavior is due to themselves. The parents are moody people, so they don't have that energy to, you know, behave well with the surroundings that come by. Sometimes they get depressed about certain matters, and many things like this happen to make themselves the reason of this negative behavior.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't come from somebody else.
Mm.
So sometimes it's themselves.
That's very
and
true.
Sometimes it's also the children who portray or do something to make this negative behavior come out. Inshallah, we'll discuss that.
Yeah, yeah. So we're just going to take a short break, and inshallah, we'll continue with this discussion. Dear audience, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Islamic Upbringing with our dear sister, Sister Salma Khalfan. So, we were talking about the common mistakes and the expectations we have from our children, and you ended with telling us about one of the mistakes that parents do, which was negative behavior, which causes negative behavior. And you said sometimes it's because of the parents themselves, that maybe they are moody and hence, you know, the child tends to do these kind of behaviors. So you were telling us more about that.
One of the ways of showing this negative behavior is criticizing in everything. The parents sometimes have this kind of character in them that they want to criticize and complain in everything. So life becomes so miserable for children who have to deal with these kind of parents, so who are constantly negative. They do not forget mistakes of the children.
Yeah.
They complain on small issues. They're also predicting always the worst to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, if a child is just done a small mistake, they'll come back to the past and say, you don't study hard, make it like a statement, you know, you never study hard. You know, you'll always fail. Or, for example, your room is always in a mess. Or when you grow up, how will you deal with your life?
Yeah.
You know, if you're dirty at this age, you wouldn't know how to do. Maybe they don't know there are stages to want requirements from a child,
yeah.
Stages of growth. Stages of understanding, having conceptual knowledge, all these things take so much time. A child doesn't have that conceptual knowledge. He wants to see it. He usually tells his feelings,
yeah,
what
exactly.
He sees around. He feels good about it. He needs to be explained with love. But if parents do this kind of criticism always, you know, then it's too much destructive for the children. And the children will always even begin to be like that. It's like role modeling. When you're good and you're always encouraging them, they'll also learn how to encourage themselves.
Very
but
true.
If you're always criticizing them, they'll also learn how to criticize.
You know, like just what you said, by saying that you're always dirty, the child will feel, there's no need for me to become better because I'll always be dirty.
Yeah.
This kind of thing, when it is said to a child, they feel like, that is the way they are then, you know.
It's so much destructive,
yeah,
right?
So it's very bad, very true.
Even discipline, when they do, they have harsh words to say. Instead of saying it slowly, politely, it's like a negative behavior. All in all, it's a negative behavior. Parents have not come to settle to terms with themselves. Like, they should know themselves, first of all. Who are they? They accept their roles as the parents, accept it, and then do the best they can, right?
Yeah.
But they forget. They want to play other roles so well. For example, the role as a wife, maybe the role as a friend, the role as a sister, the role as a daughter of their own parents.
Yeah.
But they forget that they have the role of a mother.
Which is at the moment the most
important. And that is completely not being negative.
Mm.
You have to be all positive to have this positive nature. It would shift to the child also.
Yeah, because I guess what you do, your actions, the child is more learning from that. So if you are a certain way, the child will end up, you know, being more in that way.
Yeah.
So inshallah, we're just going to take another short break and we're going to continue this very interesting discussion after it. Please stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Okay, so you're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The show is Islamic Upbringing with our dear sister, Sister Salma Khalfan. So we have been talking about one of the mistakes that parents do which causes negative behavior. And you say that sometimes the parents are moody at times and they end up criticizing too much, or they don't forget the mistakes of their children, and hence they always try and tell the children that, you know, you'll never change, or things like that, and always predict the worst.
Yeah. So a child will never learn how to have the joy of a child if he hears so much complaints. He won't have this enthusiasm to live. He'll grow up with a lot of difficulty in that way, that he'll feel that life is always being unfair to him.
Yeah.
Such people also, they have this habit of complaining not only about the situations around them, but of people also. So you can imagine that they're always gossiping. So the child also learns how to talk about people and always gossip about people. So this negative behavior brings about so many ill effects within the home, within the society. When the child grows up, his generation, all they become, you know, firmly in him, this negative behavior carries on and on like a bad virus, you know.
Exactly.
And ruins that state of peace and tranquility that is very much needed to soar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, I think when parents say that, why is my child like this? So, you know, why aren't they becoming good? They have to realize that they have to make the means, you know, ready for them. They have to set the grounds for the child. And if they don't do that appropriately, then what do they expect? Like, how can they expect more from their child?
Yeah. So I guess the opposite should be done. Let's look at life positively.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you know, you always look at everything, troubles and, you know, pains and sorrows, everything positively. That there's a kind of growth for that Allah has kept in you. Otherwise, when such people face trials, they even can go as far as doing kufr, saying why Allah chose me for this?
Mm.
I didn't deserve that. Whereas in Islam, it says that the more tribulation comes, the more you get closer to Allah, right? The more your sins are wiped away. And you get the fruit of that that reward of bearing that with patience, right?
Yeah.
Because life can never be without problems. This is Allah has made us come to this world with this kind of nature and this kind of atmosphere to train us to decide from right and wrong so that we can go towards perfection, and there will be very many hurdles for that.
Yeah.
So we should be careful on that. We shouldn't expect the best every time. So negativity brings about complaining of everything, and then it leads to even complaining about Allah. And we have seen many people doing that, you know. When we see why people are doing so much kufr, they feel it's unfair on them. It's because of the negativity that started off in the home.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't realize that. So basically, everything should first start at home. You should first make your house and your home such a place that it's always full of positivity. Your child can grow up in that surrounding. If that was important.
And also the suizan of the people can be so much lessened, when you don't think negatively of people. You always see the bright side of people. And Allah loves that so much.
Yeah, very true. So inshallah that we are able to emulate in this, and we are able to, you know, work on ourselves, because definitely we need to work on ourselves as well if we want our children to, you know,
That's
become
right.
good people. Thank you very much, and thank you, audience, for joining us on this program. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, parstoday.com. Inshallah, until the next episode, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gates of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the sermons and letters and sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We reached, this particular quality, which is the quality of contentment, and we said that one of the qualities of the pious people based on the sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam is the quality of being content, whereby Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Tarahu qani'at al-nafsuh." You will see that a pious person is one who is content, one whose soul is content. Regarding this issue, we talked about some of the practical ways to increase contentment and to stay away from greed from some of the verses of the Holy Quran, and we mentioned this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم اصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفل قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا. We say that in this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches a believer to be to increase contentment through being patient with the believers.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, adding up to what was discussed previously, we said that in this verse Allah says that if you want to be content, in a way, one of the ways to be content is to be firmly attached and be patiently together with those who call on to their Lord, who are spiritual, who are struggling in the spiritual sense, who are, you know, flying and working hard towards achieving their spiritual goals, the real purpose of their life. Yuriduna wajhahu, they want Allah's pleasure. Wala ta'adu aynaka anhum, and do not turn away your eyes from them. Turidu zinat al-hayati dunya, looking for the beauties of this worldly life. So sometimes what happens is that person, because of that sense of greed for material things that he has,